The COVID-19 pandemic may still be in its early days in sub-Saharan Africa, but the World Health Organization is now saying the region should, quote, prepare for the worst. The disease is already locally spreading there. And in countries across sub-Saharan Africa, the number of reported cases is now more than 400. This week, South Africa declared a national state of disaster and put in place drastic measures to curb the spread, including travel bans and school closures. Uganda and Ghana both imposed travel bans on the U.S. and parts of Europe. Senegal is prohibiting public gatherings, and like elsewhere in the world, calls for social distancing are widespread.
We know in epidemiology that early intervention is key, and the earlier that you can intervene, the more likely you are to have an impact. Once you get many, many cases out in the population, then intervention becomes much more difficult, much more expensive.
And that's what we're seeing in the U.S. right now, according to Mark Laurie. He's an associate professor of epidemiology at Brown University's School of Public Health, and also an honorary faculty member at the University of Cape Town School of Public Health. He says for some countries across sub-Saharan Africa, time might actually be on their side.
Perhaps we've intervened early enough in South Africa that the epidemic may not get out of control.
I asked Mark why the reported number of cases has been so low in sub-Saharan Africa compared with other parts of the world. And he told me that the actual number is likely much higher.
By definition, there are a lot of people out there who haven't been tested, who are perhaps experiencing minor symptoms that aren't severe enough to send them to a hospital or a doctor for testing. So probably in truth, the vast majority of cases that exist are cases that we actually don't know about. We know from scientists around the world who estimate that for every 20 cases, there are up to 80 unconfirmed cases, meaning that in South Africa, the true number may not be 85 as reported, but something much closer to 470, 500 actual cases.
That is so startling. So you're saying for every 20 cases that we have confirmed infections for, they may actually be as many as 80 people who just don't know or haven't been tested?
Yeah, that's right, who have unconfirmed cases. And that comes from a recent article published in Science magazine just earlier this week from data from China. But of course, it's early days still in Africa, and we don't know how the virus is going to behave here in a whole host of different ways. For sure, it's fair to say that the reported number of cases really dwarfs the actual number of cases that exist in the population today.
So in South Africa, what's been the response on the ground? You're in Cape Town, is that right?
Yes, I'm in Cape Town. I've been here for about 3 weeks, and initially, really, there was very little talk about the virus and the possibility of it coming to Africa. It's interesting. I think a lot of people predicted that it would have arrived here much earlier, in large part because of the strong economic ties that many African countries have cemented over the last couple of decades with China. That would have seemed to be an early indicator that we would get a lot of cases here. But in fact, that doesn't seem to have happened. However, I think a turning point happened just a couple of nights ago. By then, we had about 50 cases in the country, and South Africa's president was on TV on Sunday night on March 16th. He declared a national disaster. He closed half of the border posts. He restricted international travel and closed all schools until after Easter. I was out and about today on my bicycle, keeping a safe social distance, and definitely noticed a decrease in traffic. For sure, some restaurants and shops are starting to close. Big tourist attractions like Robben Island and many other places are shut for the foreseeable future. I think South Africa really is just starting to react and respond to the epidemic. The good news is that it's possible, and an optimist would say that South Africa perhaps intervened early enough in the epidemic that they may be able to make a difference. That is, that potentially the early action that happened when there were only about 50 reported cases may actually stave off a much worse situation.
We're joined now from someone else who's closely following the situation from Lagos, Nigeria. Bukola Adebayo is a senior producer and reporter for CNN Africa. Bukola told us how Nigeria is responding to the outbreak.
As we know, Nigeria is like the most populous country on the continent. So, and there's a lot of footfall from China and other countries. And it was expected that Nigeria will record some cases. They tried to prepare isolation centers. They were testing at airports, temperature screening. But as scientists have told us, temperature screening is not really detecting cases at the airports. So we've had few numbers, majorly from people with history to travel history to the US and the UK. And that is why people are actually panicking. There's a lot of panic in Lagos because the population means that we have a higher risk of spread, of transmission, and people just are worried, like, if these cases are not well managed, it could actually be a potential problem for a country that is actually highly mobile. Nigerians, Lagosians are calling on the government, please pick cases early so that we don't have a situation where patients are detected like 3 or 4 days after they've entered the country. And interestingly, the government imposed a ban on countries that have recorded more than 1,000 coronavirus cases today.
Well, so how does that compare to other sub-Saharan African countries?
Well, other sub-Saharan African countries have put in place restrictions. I mean, Ethiopia has put in place restrictions. Kenya is saying, if your country has recorded a case of coronavirus, please don't come to our country. Uganda is even saying, whether you're Ugandan, you're American, or you're British, or wherever, you're Chinese, just stay where you are for now. Don't come into the country. To be fair, the health facilities in sub-Saharan Africa cannot be compared to other parts of Africa, to South Africa, for instance, or even to the UK or the US. Our facilities are overstretched. So the word now is shut all borders. That's what the people are saying. And the government, I feel like they also are reacting to this pressure and these concerns from their citizens. And they are shutting borders. Ghana has said, if your country has recorded more than 200 cases of coronavirus, don't come.
So, Mark, what does the outbreak mean for the public health system in South Africa and in similar countries? We heard Bukola mention the situation in Nigeria.
It's still much too early to tell. Throughout sub-Saharan Africa, and not just in South Africa, healthcare systems are often stretched beyond capacity, even in the absence of what's likely to be a huge additional load. So we're working at baseline with health systems that are not perfect, and they're going to have trouble adapting to potential influx of tens of thousands of people. Three things exist in our populations in sub-Saharan Africa that make us particularly concerned about the potential impact of this epidemic. And those are the three leading causes of death: HIV, tuberculosis, and diabetes. All of those things result in weakened immune systems, and weakened immune systems are precisely what the coronavirus itself is looking for. South Africa has the largest number of people in the world infected with HIV, some 7 million people. What experts are saying is that HIV infection per se may not be a particular risk factor for poor outcomes related to coronavirus, but what's likely is that people who are either not taking antiretroviral therapy or who have been unable to successfully adhere to antiretroviral therapy such that they have successfully suppressed the virus, what we call viral suppression. Those people who are unable to do that are probably going to be at very high risk of poor outcomes from coronavirus. Similarly, with tuberculosis, again, this is a disease that compromises the lungs, and compromised lungs, again, are precisely what coronavirus looks for. Here in South Africa, we have about 300,000 new tuberculosis cases annually and about 30,000 annual deaths. Those numbers are likely to go to be much higher in the face of the coming coronavirus epidemic. And similarly with diabetes, which itself, you know, weakens the immune system. And so, again, is a kind of perfect environment for this new coronavirus. People, in fact, with diabetes are 3 to 4 times more likely to develop TB. And it's amongst this population who have these kind of compounding health risks, HIV, tuberculosis, and diabetes, potentially 2 or 3 of those things simultaneously. Those are people that I would be very, very concerned about.
Have countries in sub-Saharan Africa learned any lessons from handling the outbreaks like Ebola that we could have possibly apply to COVID-19?
I mean, I think the biggest lesson is intervene early. Those that are slow to intervene are going to have, you know, significantly larger epidemics, which are going to take a bigger personal and economic toll. Those who are early to the game, who intervene before their large number of cases, have the possibility of really stemming the epidemic before it really takes hold. So I think the first and foremost lesson is early intervention is most likely to save lives.
Mark Lurie is an associate professor of epidemiology at Brown University's School of Public Health, and Bukola Adebayo is senior producer and reporter for CNN Africa. Thank you both for joining us. Be safe.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.